Omaha Public Radio presents a lecture from Metropolitan Community College on Noon Forum. On today's program, we'll hear a talk by Doris Royal, a retired Springfield, Nebraska farm wife. She'll speak on the topic, One Can Be an Influence, Nebraska farm wife Doris Royal's successful campaign against the widow's tax. This program was recorded by Omaha Public Radio on Monday morning, March 21st, 2016, for broadcast at this time. The opinions expressed are those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of Metropolitan Community College, KIOS-FM, or the Omaha Public School District. For much of the 20th century, a provision of the federal estate tax, known as the widow's tax, held surviving spouses liable for estate taxes on jointly held property. This burden fell more heavily on women, not only because they were more likely to be the surviving spouse, but also because the law generally failed to acknowledge a wife's contribution to the estate's value. This burden was accepted until 49-year-old Springfield, Nebraska farm wife Doris Royal challenged it with a petition campaign. Mrs. Royal's successful effort involved the administrations of three United States presidents and was supported by a bipartisan coalition of Republicans and Democrats and by both feminists and traditional thinkers. Here now to introduce the program is Barbara Velasquez, Coordinator of International and Intercultural Education at Metropolitan Community College.
Many of you already know Dr. Amy Forrest and Doris Royal, who will be presenting One Can Be an Influence. And I think this is a perfect example of a time in history that was not recognized to the extent that it should have been in our history books. So we're happy to have Dr. Force and Ms. Royal bring the story to us today. And we also want to thank KIOS for recording this. If you listen to KIOS Radio, we will have this probably on air down the road here. Okay, thank you.
All right. As Barb said, I'm Dr. Forrest, and thank you very much for coming. I'm really excited because we have a very special person here today. First of all, I do want to thank Barb Velasquez, before I forget, MCC's Coordinator of International Culture Education, for inviting Doris Royal to come and speak with us today. I also want to thank the Nebraska State Historical Society Foundation. They went ahead and gave me a research grant to pay for the necessary traveling and costs and time to write an article about Doris Royal. It appeared in the Nebraska History Journal, if anyone is interested. Today we're going to be discussing Doris Royal's successful campaign to change the federal estate tax. Now, because of Doris Royal, it's called the widow's tax. And the reason I want to stress that this is a federal estate tax is that it affected everyone in the United States. This is not just a tax that pertains to Nebraskans. This is a tax that pertains to every citizen of the United States, especially women. In 1975, Doris Royal decided that this estate tax, which many others, including other Nebraskans, such as a couple of Nebraskan congressmen and women, needed to be revised. It was Doris Royal, though, that made this revision possible. She proved that one person can indeed make a difference. I will be giving you a brief overview of the federal estate tax and Doris Royal's role in changing it, and then Doris, who spent 7 years of her life fighting against it, will explain to you how did she do it. If you have questions, please hold them until Doris is done speaking. We're going to have a little bit of maybe 15, 20 minutes time to ask some questions if you are interested. In 1916, our government created the Revenue Act of 1916. Part of this act included the Federal Tax Act. It required that when a spouse died, the surviving spouse had to show proof, such as a documented dollar amount, of his or her contribution to the value of their estate for full inclusion of that deceased spouse's property. So from 1916 to 1982, it was accepted, although bitterly, that a surviving spouse had to legally pay on their own estate. Now, if you're wondering, okay, well, who's this affecting? Well, most of the time, the surviving spouse was generally the wife, and widows were liable for taxes on their own property that 5 minutes before, when their husband was alive, that they had held jointly. This was a financial hardship. What made it worse was that the federal government did not acknowledge that a wife's contribution to her own estate was considered part of her work. Basically, the government saw it as her marital duties that, of course, she supported her husband, but nothing that she did actually really counted. So if a husband died first, his wife, as the surviving spouse, had to pay 100% of their estate taxes. And, of course, a lot of women are going to lose their estate. So I'm going to use Doris here as an example. If her husband, Lloyd, had died in 1975, she would have had to have paid $32,000 on their estate, their farm, which was valued at that point at $320,000, which a lot of women could not afford to do, so they're going to lose their home, including Doris. That would have been a huge hardship. Doris decided that she wanted to do something about this situation. So she visited with a local Papillion attorney. I don't know if anybody ever knew of this man. He's no longer with us. His name was Dixon Adams. Today he has his company, Adams & Sullivan, has a successful lawyer partnership in Papillion. And Dixon Adams, pro bono, for free, created the Royal Petition. Doris's intent was to change the widow's tax to support all supposedly non-working women, any married woman, and who were left with sizable estates that they had to pay taxes on. There were Democrats, including South Dakota Democrat George McGovern. There were Republicans, people like Kansas Senator Robert Dole. There were feminists, there were conservatives, there were a lot of people who were very excited about what Doris was doing with her petition. In particular, she had the eyes and ears of three different presidents, Presidents Ford, Carter, and Reagan. Not bad for a woman who previously had not been attached to any political party. Doris would end up testifying at the House Committee on Ways and Means and the Senate Financial Committee in Washington. She flew to Washington 18 times, and it cost her a total of $500 to keep flying back and forth to testify. Doris realized that there were two types of politicians in Congress, the politicians who only thought of the next election and statesmen who actually thought of the next generation. Eventually, President Reagan is going to sign the Economic Recovery Tax Act of 1981. It will go into effect January 1st, 1982, and that will abolish the widow's tax. Would you please give me a little bit of help in warmly welcoming Doris Royal, who's going to explain how did she take down a federal estate tax?
Thank you very much. As told Amy, sitting there reminded me of years and years ago when I was sitting out there like you. It's been a long time. I'm going to start by just giving you a little of my background so you can better understand why we were so upset when we found out how the estate tax laws discriminated against wives. When we were first married, we were very poor. Through the years, we became friends of the local manager of the local feed store, and he used to tell us that he would tell people, if you want to see poor people, you need to see the Royals, and we were. We were able to rent 160 acres, and my husband custom farmed another 80 acres for our landlord. Later, we were able to move and rent 320 acres, which back then those were pretty good-sized farms. Now they aren't very big. A few years later, we rented another 160 acres. This meant we had to hire a man to help. He lived with us in our home. I cooked, cleaned, did his laundry and everything, but I wasn't contributing to the estate. Then we rented another 160 acres, so we hired a married man. If anybody wants to do a book on hired men, I can sure help you. We had some really good ones. And then we had some who thought their husband should be in and cleaned up for a 6 o'clock supper. That's not farmers' hours. So we would put a hay rack out in the field, put our kids under it with some toys, and then we would gauge our tractors so that one of us could be seeing that they were okay. But according to the old estate tax laws, I wasn't doing anything. We finally got enough money for a down payment on a 240-acre farm and rented an 80 acres next to it. The children were grown, so I became the hired man. The owner of the 80 that we rented was so impressed he wanted us to do the rest of his farms. We said we just couldn't do it. But he said, well, if you'd buy bigger equipment, then you could. So we did. And back then, 600 acres was one of the biggest farms in Sarpy County. Now they talk thousands of acres. But this meant borrowing more money and working longer hours. But I still was not contributing. The local extension club held some estate planning meetings. We didn't go because we didn't think we were wealthy. But our neighbors went, and they said, you really ought to go and listen. So we did. We found out that if I died first, Lloyd would have everything free and clear, no taxes. But if he died first, since I had never worked out of the house for money, I had not contributed anything, and I would have to pay estate tax. And I would probably have to sell the farm we had worked so hard for in order to pay it. Only those who worked outside the home and brought home a paycheck contributed. When I was in D.C. one time, one of them said, you know, the husband works for the money and the wife works because she loves her husband. I just laughed and said, you think my husband doesn't love me? We thought some organization would fight the law, but none of them did. And after we had a huge blizzard and we were out the whole day trying to feed our livestock, and it was so cold and windy that they wouldn't even come up to eat. We'd have to go and prod them up to get them up to the bunk. When we got back in the house, I said to Lloyd, and I didn't do anything today. Then we went to the local attorney, which, as she said, was Dixon Adams, and he wrote a petition to get rid of the widow's tax. We went to various meetings of the different organizations, thought some of them, when they found out what the law was, would pick it up. But no, none of them did. Eileen Worth did a story about me in the World Herald, and Laura Lane, who worked for the Farm Journal, did an article in that magazine. She included a copy of the petition, and she called it the Widow's Tax, and that name stuck. She did an article every month, and the letters started coming, some to me, some to Farm Journal. Luckily, I had two good neighbors who helped me. They can't answer letters and count the signatures and send out petitions. On a slow day, we had 100 letters. While I got the recognition, it was probably Laura Lane who continued doing the articles that really kept things going. People just need a leader, and they will come forth. Congressman Charlie Thone took up the cause. He had one of his aides watch and let me know if I was needed in D.C. or if someone needed a push in a particular state. We would get together and send letters out to those people in those states telling them to write and phone their congressman. Senator Curtis and Senator Bob Dole of Kansas joined in. The list just kind of kept growing. Arrangements were made for me to meet with Representative Allman, who was chairman of the Revenue Committee, which was the committee that would have to work on changing the law. I was really nervous, but I had to do it. it turned out he was a very nice man, and we had a nice conversation. Since I didn't know my way around D.C., Bill Jones, who was the lobbyist for the Feeders Association, led me around D.C. I'll always be grateful to him, because I don't know how I, a farm wife from Nebraska, ever would have found my way around back there. If you would decide to do something, you will be the one that gets the credit, but it will be the many people who agree with you who really gets the job done. They just need someone to start it. A few words of caution, and this, you're not, probably not old enough for this now, but if you have a spouse, be sure your spouse agrees with you, because you will be all gone a lot speaking, and it takes money. I still do not know how Lloyd, my husband, did it, but I don't know how he got everything done. True, I was home a lot on my tractor, but I was gone a lot, collecting signatures and speaking. It meant long hours for him and hiring some extra help. You'll be spending money. We never asked for money. If I was to do it again, I probably would have put a little thing out here that they could throw a donation when they signed, but we didn't. We were very grateful when some people did put a little money in when they sent their signatures. There were times when we thought we'd spent all we could spend and all the time I could spend away from home. And then we'd get a letter from some widow telling how it had affected her. And so we would dig in again. I was very fortunate my husband was with me. He was probably more irate than I was. He did not want me to lose the farm that we had worked so hard to get. When the campaign was over, he had a reporter ask him, "Do you really think she deserves it?" His answer was, "She spends more hours on the tractor than I do. What do you think?" And I did, because some days he didn't even get to the field. He'd be in the place taking care of the livestock or getting equipment ready for the next deal. You can help just by writing laws to your congressman or your state senator. When I was in D.C., one congressman told me that for every bill, he had two files, one that was for the bill and one that was against it. If it was a bill that he didn't really know how he wanted to vote, he would go to that file, and the file that had the most letters would probably get his vote. So letters do count. You don't have to have a lot of education. Back then, you could teach school by having 3 months of college. Don't you kids wish that was it now? Anyway, I graduated in the spring, went to school in the summer, started teaching in the fall. So, and you don't have to be a good speaker. I'm still nervous when I get up in front of people. When I spoke at Congress at the hearings, that was really scary. But after one of the meetings, well, actually, there was two women from Wisconsin who came too, that we all three testified at all the meetings that we could. And one of the members came down and said we gave the best testimony they heard, because we told how it was out on the farm, where the lobbyists just gave them some statistics. You have to be able to take criticism and heartbreak. I had a brother-in-law who told everyone I didn't know what I was talking about because his mother didn't have any problems. Well, the estate wasn't big enough to trigger the estate tax. But he convinced even my own family that I didn't know what I was talking about, and most of them did not sign my petition, which was kind of heartbreaking. You have to have a sense of humor. After the law was passed, I was scheduled to go to D.C. to change amendments to the law. a lady called and wanted to thank me because she had just come from her attorney, and he had said that because of what I had done, she saved $78,000. Now, I was supposed to go to D.C., and I thought, oh, goody. She'll probably send enough to pay for this trip. I got $10. I just laughed and told my husband, well, that's $10 we didn't have before. There are so many things that need to be changed. I'm sure you could get a lot of signatures right now limiting how much money could be spent on these campaigns and how far ahead of election that they could start campaigning. Our welfare system needs some overhauling, and I have nothing against anyone who actually needs it. Unfortunately, we have a lot of people who could work, but it's just easier. It's been their way of life. Daddy did it and Grandpa did it. And I say I have nothing against it. I have two nephews who are actually on disability. They've had surgeries trying to get so they could go to work. But they can't. And I'm for helping anybody who really needs help. There's a bill in Congress right now, and this is one you should really think about, that they want to limit how many times they could run for election, much like we have here in Nebraska. Now, they won't get it through Congress, but I would wonder if it could be put a part of the Constitution. Congress won't pass it because that's their paycheck. You could be the one that leads that fight. I don't know if you were for or against the pipeline out west. Once again, it is proof that if you're willing to work and take time, you can change things. They were told, just as I was, that they didn't have a chance of stopping it. There is one thing that I need to clarify, and that is we did not eliminate the estate tax, but the thing is that now, if you have enough to trigger estate tax, it will be the same whether you're a man or a woman. They won't be discriminatory anymore. And it's actually now we've got it high enough that most middle-class people will never have to worry about it. When I was speaking, I always used to say, my grandparents left me a really good country. I'm not so proud of the way our country's going now. And we need people like you to get busy and change it. I gave you my history so you could know that if you study hard, work hard, and look for ways where you can improve what you're doing, you can get ahead too. And I thank you for listening, and do you have any questions? Any questions?
I just want to make one final note here. Doris is being very humble. You know, this tax has affected everyone in the United States, and because of what she has done, the mayor, Gene Stothard, our mayor, decided to proclaim Doris Royal Day. You know, they were trying to decide what day did we make it Doris Royal Day, and they decided that the day that I had a picture up there of the blizzard, and Doris was saying how that was the day that she was so angry that, you know, she turned to her husband and said, what, I haven't done any work for us at all today, and I've worked 12 hours trying to save our animals and haul in our hay and try to keep our farm afloat in the middle of a blizzard. And so I looked back into history on what day was that, and I came up with January 12th, so want to show you. This was the proclamation that was given to Doris, and it says, Doris Royal, a Nebraska woman who claimed that she was more comfortable on a tractor than in front of a microphone, successfully challenged the federal estate tax And the federal estate tax, also known as the widow's tax, mandated that if a husband passed away before his wife, she had to pay estate taxes on their property. At age 49, Doris Royal launched the Royal Petition, a national effort from her kitchen table. She still has that kitchen table. I like that kitchen table. And she eventually collected more than 135,000 signatures. The petition influenced legislation that prevented estate taxes from being collected when property transferred from one spouse to the other. On October 5, 1976, President Ford signed the Tax Reform Act of 1976, the biggest tax cut in the nation's history, the most radical change in economic direction since the New Deal. Royal did not stop there. She continued to fight for more comprehensive reform. And in 1981, President Ronald Reagan signed the Economic Recovery Tax Act, which ensured that surviving spouses' jointly held property would be legally treated as owned 50% by the husband and 50% by the wife. Talk about equality. I, therefore, Gene Stothard, Mayor of City of Omaha, do hereby proclaim January 12, 2016, as Doris Royal Day. So I think we need to give her a hand for that one. The other thing that I wanted to mention, and here is the picture of Doris looking at the article that came out in Nebraska History, if you want to know more about her. The article is a lot longer than what we have discussed today, and it goes into a lot of detail if you're really into the law and what all happened with this. So there is, she is reading her copy of Nebraska History. So thank you very much for coming. Does anyone have questions before we stop? Okay, you've been awesome. Well, thank you very much.
You've been listening to a lecture from Metropolitan Community College on Noon Forum. On today's program, we've heard a talk by Doris Royal, a retired Springfield, Nebraska farm wife. She spoke on the topic, One Can Be an Influence, Nebraska Farm Wife Doris Royal's Successful Campaign Against the Widow's Tax. Mrs. Royal was joined by Amy Force, an instructor in history and human relations at Metropolitan Community College, and author of Black Print with a White Carnation, Mildred Brown and the Omaha Star Newspaper, 1938 to 1989. This program was recorded by Omaha Public Radio on Monday morning, March 21st, 2016, for broadcast at this time. Special thanks to Barbara Velasquez, Coordinator of International and Intercultural Education at Metropolitan Community College, for helping to make the recording and broadcast of this program possible. Complete Noon Forum listings, as well as an archive of over 600 previous broadcasts, are available on our website, kios.org. Now, this is your producer and host, Bob Cote, thanking you for listening.